All right. Say with me, greater maturity, increased fruitfulness. One more time. Greater maturity and increased fruitfulness. We have been talking about who we are. We've been talking about who Jesus is as a king, as a priest, and we've talked about the fact that God calls us to be a king and a priest, right? And can you remember, what does a priest, what was the function of the priest? It's to minister or to serve, all right? So service is what priests, they were called to do. They had a ministry unto God. Okay, so we talked about, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called us out of darkness, brought us into his light, to call us to be a kingdom of priests who will bring service. Now, you realize that we call this Sunday service. I don't know if you thought about that ever before. Do you think why we ever call it a service? All right? Are we servicing the car or what are we doing here? Sunday service. All right. So it's interesting we call it Sunday service, right? So think about it. So this morning, I want to talk to you about, and here's the title, it's From Worship to Service. All right. From Worship to Service. I'm going to read from the screen here, or if it's up there. We're getting there. So are you with me so far? So you and I, as priests of the Most High God, are called to serve. And as we mentioned, that service is threefold. Number one, serve God, minister unto the Lord. Our devotion, our worship unto God. What was number two? Our service to the fellow brothers and sisters here, the body, the church. And the third one, what's the third one? Service to the world. And like I said this in the past, those 3 points is actually part of our website. You can find those 3 points there as far as the purpose of the church is concerned. So let me read worship. So from worship to service, let me give you a few definitions here, or at least a few things we clarify here. So worship and service are very closely interrelated, or they're very closely related, but they're distinct from one another. Let me say this again. Worship and service are they're part of the same coin. They're two sides of the same coin, but they're very distinct from one another. We're going to look at that distinction today. Worship is expressed through our service. Service, therefore, is worship unto God. And yet I said it's distinct. Yet, worship and service are not exactly the same thing, but yet, they are very closely related. Is that okay so far? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 12. We've read this verse many times. In the New King James Version, it says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, and everybody said, reasonable service. So this, the presenting of our body, is a reasonable service. Now, look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, translated with the New American Standard Version. It says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So the idea of worship and service in the Old Testament is throughout, okay? So when you look at worship and service, they're always very closely related to one another. And let's look at it from Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. When Jesus was tempted, remember Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted for 40 days and the devil, Satan, approached him. What did the devil do? Well, this is the temptation here. We're going to read from verse 8 to 10. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him you shall serve." So can you see these two aspects here? Okay, in the New Testament here we read this. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him also you shall serve. And that concept throughout the entire Bible is there. Worship, service. We're going to look at this in a moment. Okay, so let's look at some basic idea of what worship and service is, just because we said they're very closely related. Worship is not service, but our service is worship. I don't know how it makes sense of that. I just contradicted myself. But here, what does worship mean? Worship is the, okay, now try and say it with me. It's the Hebrew word shacha. Shacha, okay? And I do this so that it becomes memorable to you, because it helps me, when I do this to my form, even for myself, it helps me remember things because it's different, right? So say everybody, say with me, shacha. So shacha is a Hebrew word, okay? Now, it's translated in the Bible as worship. So we say worship, correct? Now, before I ask you the question, anything else, let me ask you a question first. When we say, let us worship the Lord, what do you and I, and don't try to be super spiritual here, what do you think when we say, let's worship the Lord? Sing some songs. Yeah, singing songs, probably number one, right? Number one, okay? And that while that is not false entirely, this is not fully the idea of worship. Worship is not singing songs, to be honest. But the Hebrew word, shacha, simply means to bow down. In other words, to prostrate. If you can see, this is the definition from the Strong's Concordance there. It's to prostrate yourself down in homage to royalty to God, to bow yourself down, crouch, to fall down, to humbly beseech, reverence. That's the idea of the word worship. And so when we read the scriptures in the Bible and it says, and you see the word shacha sometimes is translated worship and sometimes simply to bow. Now, let me spin your head a little bit here. When you read certain verses in the scriptures, you'll find a verse like this. For example, in Genesis chapter 23, verse 12, it says here, "Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land." If you had to guess what word that word bowed himself was in the Hebrew, come on, Hebrew scholars, what would you say that was? Shacha. You can check it out for yourself. I'm not lying to you. But that word, in case I'm just like, oh, he's only pretending it is. You do your research. It is. It's the word shacha. So what I'm trying to say to you is the idea behind the word. It's not that Abraham was worshiping them as such as we worship the only one true God. But the idea of the word shacha is to bow in deep reverence. It was a common way of greeting in this ancient world, in this area. So bowing down is a form of greeting. And you find other verses like this through the scriptures. So it wasn't necessarily always used in the idea of you're worshiping a god or something, but it was also a form of greeting. But the whole idea is reverence, honor, respect, bowing, humility. Does that make sense? Yeah? So in 1 Chronicles 16:29, it says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering." What could that look like? That looks like service to me. "Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship, shacha, the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Amen? That's number one idea, right? That's the picture. Shacha, worship, means to bow. So the picture here, hopefully in the previous one, gives you an idea of what shacha looks like. Okay? That is shacha. All right, let's go to the next one here, to serve. Okay, so we talk about worship and service. They're closely related, but they're not exactly the same thing. But yet, they are both part of our, it's part of our worship. So what does service, the word, the Hebrew word there is abad. Say abad. Abad is to serve, and I'm going to read here. It's like, it's the idea of enslavement, to keep in bondage, to be a bondman, bond service, compel, to do, to serve, to bring service. You get the idea? A servant, okay? A slave. Now, you and I, think of a slave. What does a slave do? A slave, when we were slave to sin, the Bible says we were slave to sin. Do you agree with me? We're slave to sin. What does that mean that we are slaves of sin? Sin is our master. We are slaves, meaning even if we wanted to serve something else, we can't because we're enslaved to it. You get my idea? You get the idea here? But he says you're not a slave unto sin, but you're slaves unto God for righteousness. It's not saying God is a big boss and he's got a whip and he's going to whip us until we obey him and we are slaves in that sense, right? But a slave, the idea of a slave is that he can only serve the master and he can't but serve or at least be under the service of the master. Can you understand this? All right, so a servant, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but, and this is the word I want you to pick up here, as bond servants of God. We are bond servants. It's the idea of slaves, all right? So I think in the King James, I think it uses, if I'm not wrong, just check me on that. I think it uses the word slaves there. But idea, if you look at the dictionary, though, you will see this is what a bond servant is. And look at the idea of a bond servant. When we say we are bond slaves, bond servants of God, get the picture here from the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 21, verse 5 to 6. It says, but if the servant plainly says, this is the servant, all right, the slave, this is the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, and I will not go out free. Remember, after 7 years, you know, when they serve, or at least on the year of Jubilee, slaves were free. But this person here, this slave can say, this servant can say, verse 6, then his that he will not go free. So verse 6 says, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So this is the idea. I don't know if you're getting what I'm going with this verse, but the whole picture here is that this person willingly stays with a master to serve him as a servant. All right? So we are servants of God. Okay? So let me say this now. In the Old Testament, when you think about worship and service, they were very closely related to one another. God calls us to worship him. But for example, when he took them out of Egypt, what did he say? Let my people go. Let my people go for what? That they may serve me in the wilderness. So how were they to serve God? God would then erect or at least get Moses to build a tabernacle, eventually becoming the temple, and the priests would minister and serve the Lord through the tabernacle. Does that make sense? So worship and service, that was the picture. So when you think about worship in the Old Testament, not only is it great reverence and awe, but the worship was also a form of service. It was an expression of service to God in how he instructed his people. Okay? So as priests, let me just go through these points again, as we have already said. But as priests, we have a threefold service. Number one, our ministry or service unto the Lord, which no one else can do beside us. Number two, ministry or service unto the body of Christ, that is a ministry to the church, okay? Number three, a ministry or service unto the world, evangelism, all right? Which God, Jesus, committed to his church. Now, I've got 3 points to share with you this morning, okay? And the first one is this. So we're talking about from worship to service. Now, take note of this progression here. From worship to service. It didn't say service. I'm not saying worse service to worship, but from worship to service. So what did we learn so far is we learned that the word shachar, which is what does that mean? It means to bow. To bow. That's simply the idea of worship, to bow before the Lord. So when you think about bowing, physically speaking, it's a posture. Would you say it's a posture? It's a position. It's a it's a place of humility. It's a place of respect. It's a place of honor, right? So number one, worship begins with a posture of my heart. Bowing before the Lord. Now we can bow physically. That's also good. But I think there's one thing that God wants us to bow, and that's the place of the heart. The posture of the heart in itself is worship unto God. My whole life, my entire life is called to be worship unto God. Now, we're going to talk about the expressions of worship in a moment, but I hope you get the picture of bowing before the Lord. It's not just a physical sense, but from the heart, there's a bowing that takes place. Look at Jesus as a great example here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, it says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant." Bondservant, so that's for service, isn't it, right? "Conforming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So Jesus humbled himself. He bowed to the Father's will. Does that make sense? That's worship. There's a song we sing, I think it's the second standard. It says, "Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns." Can we have those words up if we can, just a moment, really quickly? I want you to see this. Maybe you can sing it with me too, why not? Let's do it a cappella, right? Like the voices in heaven, the angels in heaven. Let's sing. Ready? All right. Silent. Okay, no wonder you're silent because, okay. We're getting it hopefully soon. Okay, I'll start first. The point is by the time we reach the third line, hopefully the words will be up. And for those who know it, sing along. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Sing it again. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns." Okay, can you imagine when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Lord, if you can, if you will, let that cup pass away from me, yet not my will, but your will." Jesus also said, "I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of him who sent me, the will of my Father." So Jesus gives us a picture of someone who was completely submitted and surrendered to the will of the Father. So think about it with me for a moment here. Worship begins when I surrender myself, my heart, my entire life to the will of God. It's the posture of my heart. Can you say amen to that? Worship. So what is the posture of my heart? That's the very core of who we are. Let me go to the next point here. Number two, worship precedes service. Meaning to say that worship happens first before service. Now before we do that, let me add a point on that last one here. We talk about how worship is to bow. and how Jesus bowed to the Father's will. Now, did Jesus not bless us? Has Jesus blessed us? Have you received the blessing of God this morning? Put your hand up if you received the blessing of God. Have you been blessed by God? Has God blessed you? Put your hand up if God has blessed you with his salvation. He has indeed, hasn't he? Right? But you see, and I don't know if you've picked that up, but in the Easter parade, we've sort of talked about this, but do you know that the word blessing in Hebrew is baruch, which means it's also the root word for kneeling, like literally kneeling, the word to literally kneel, okay? What did God do to bless us? He knelt, he bowed, he humbled himself to bring us blessings. Can you get the idea of what I'm saying here? Worship is not just because he did wonderful things to please God, but he bowed first to the will of God. So I want to ask you to stand for a moment, okay? Let's stand to our feet. And well, we're not finished yet, just in case you're thinking, well, that was short. Some of you are praising, hallelujah, it's over. Okay, I want you to do this with me. I'm going to do it with you. You do it with me. We do it together, all right? I want to ask God. Let's ask God, where is the... And be honest, be open to God, okay? No one's watching you, everybody. Eyes closed. Let's be open to the Lord right now and check the posture of our hearts in the worship that we seek to bring God. Lord, help us this morning. To have a completely surrendered will, bowing to your will, bowing the posture of my heart. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Holy Spirit, would you move in our lives right now? I ask that you would touch our hearts. So that if there's anything that's rebelled against you, anything that's opposing you in the depths of our hearts, Lord, we just surrender all and lay everything before you. We surrender our lives to you as a living sacrifice. Help us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the point number two here. Number two, worship precedes service. Everybody say with me, worship precedes service, meaning worship first before service. Because we talk about the posture of the heart, because we talk about that worship really begins at the bowing place state of our hearts, that's the place from which service comes out, flows out. Service comes out of our worship. Let's look at the verses in the Bible that talks about worship and service. Number one, look at how, I'm going to read a number of verses here. Look at how they are closely related. You always see worship and service. And look at the order in which it speaks of it first as well. Are you ready? We're going to read Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. We already read this. But he says, and again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him also you shall serve. Worship and service. Worship first, then service. And this Jesus was quoting the Old Testament. He was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Now, the wording is slightly different here, but get the idea, right? Obviously, Old Testament was written in Hebrew. New Testament was written in Greek. Then it was translated in English. But here you find in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and you shall take oath in his name." So this is what Jesus was quoting when he was quoting against Satan. Okay? Fear of the Lord. You shall fear the Lord. That's the idea of worship here. Remember, fear, bowing, reverence. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. Worship, then service. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. The Ten Commandments that God gave us. You shall have no other gods before me, number one. Number two, second commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now listen to this. You shall not bow down. Shacha, that's the word there. You shall not shacha to them, nor serve them. Abad, the one we looked at earlier. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. Worship, bowing, then service. Can you see this with me? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. This is what we call the first. And note how Jesus said the first. He didn't say the second. Or after you serve, then this is a great commandment for you. It says, the first and the great commandment, which Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. What did he say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Number one, as we go down a few verses, in verse 12 and 13, it says this, and now Israel, what does the Lord God require of you? But, now you will see, I've color-coded it, blue and green. Blue speaks of worship, green speaks of the service aspect of it. And look at the order, worship, service, worship, service. Are you ready? Now, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God. Okay? And to walk in all his ways. Kind of meant to be green there. I missed that. And to love him. Worship. And to serve the Lord your God. Service. With all of your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandment of the Lord. Our service. Are you seeing this with me so far? All right? Fear the Lord. Then walk. Love him. Serve. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. What do you think that speaks of? Worship. Fear him. Bow before him in reverence, in adoration. And keep his commandment and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. What does that speak of? Our service. So I hope that I've shown you verses here to really see that service, worship, and service are inseparable. They're not the same thing, but they're inseparable. They're very closely related because our worship will bring forth service, making our service worship. But service in itself, as you see, may or may not be worship. That's the reason why I said they're the same. They're closely related, yet they're not quite exactly the same, distinctly speaking. John chapter 14, verse 15. Everybody read it with me. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you love me, the first thing is about loving me. The first and the greatest commandment, you shall worship the Lord your God. You shall love me with all of your heart. You shall worship me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Worship precedes service. So all of you, if you think about the different ways we can serve, the different ways we can serve God, there's a huge list we can come up with. And I'm not here to share this today. How can we serve the church? There's a huge list of things we can do. There are different kinds of ministries we can get involved with. You can get involved in youth ministry. You can get involved with the poor. You can get involved with drug addicts. You can get involved with so on and so forth. All different ministries we can be part of, exhorting, encouraging, looking after people, or whatever, past, being All these kind of aspects, these are all service. Think about all the service you can do. Reach out to the lost. You can street evangelism. You share your faith out to people. Whatever. So think of what, there's a huge list of service. The many things we can do. But ultimately, we serve who we worship. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Okay? Why can't we serve? Because we serve what we worship, or in this case, what we... Okay, help me here. I hope you're still with me. All right? We serve what we love. We serve what we are loyal to. You get it? You get the idea? So loving, worshiping God, it starts with a posture of my heart towards God. That will determine my service. So let me ask a few questions here. What are we serving? All right, what are we serving? Oftentimes you talk about building. We're building the church. Is that a great thing? Building the church, working with God to build the church. That's self-service, isn't it? But some of us are building other things. What do you think we could be building for ourselves? Instagram page, maybe? I don't know. You could be building your career. You could be building your future, right? All these things we build. What do we serve? So what are we loyal to? What do we worship? What do we love first? We love approval of man. Is that what we're seeking? Okay, because what we love is ultimately what we really serve. So there's a real check here this morning. I want to ask everybody to be really sincere. What are we really serving in life? How are we serving? What are we serving? Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Now remember I said, worship precedes service. And why I say this is because, is it possible? Now think with me for a moment. Is it possible that I can have the expression of service without worship? Think with me. You think that's possible? Is it possible for someone, and let me hear a loud yes or a loud no, because, or maybe you're unsure, that's why I'm not hearing you. Is it possible, think about it, is it possible to have the expression of worship, which is service, and not have worship in itself? Is it possible? I'm not saying you're doing it, I'm just asking you, is it possible? I'll ask again, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible, right? Isaiah 29, verse 13. "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, all right, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men." Jesus quoted that and says, "They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me." So that's what I'm trying to say here. It is possible to have the expressions of service, because our singing songs, that's a service to the Lord. Didn't David appoint singers in the temple, or at least in the tabernacle of David? And didn't Solomon appoint singers to sing in the temple? Wasn't that a service unto God that they were appointed to do? So you and I can sing song. That is service to God, right? But is it possible? Because the singing is an expression of what comes from the heart and not the other way around. So while I may be busy serving in many things, think about what we're serving, how we are serving, how we're contributing, out of what is it coming from? Just because I have an expression doesn't mean. But if you do have worship in your heart, I do think it will lead you to service. And they're inseparable. You just can't separate the two. So you can't say, and it's almost to say, "Oh, I love the Lord, but we don't serve." Then it's like, doesn't make sense either. All right? Let's look at that in a moment. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, some scary verses here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So Jesus bowed to the Father's will. Isn't that a call for us that we are called to do the will of God? Is that right? But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Does that sound or does that look like service to you? Does that look like ministry? Casting out demons, prophesying, doing all great things. And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So again, I ask the question, is it possible to have the expressions of worship or the expressions of service without worship? From a heart of worship, I sing songs. Is it possible to sing song but not worshiping? Is it possible to be raising up our hands? These are all expressions of worship, but I'm not really worshiping because my heart is somewhere else. Just because I do great and wonderful things for God, that's not what God is first asking and requiring of all of us. The first thing he says is, and I'm going to read 1 Samuel 15, 22. Samuel said this, has the Lord as great delight in offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. We can have all the sacrifices, we can have all the ministries, we can have all the service, we have all the contribution, we can have all the things that we do or we're involved with, but without true worship, which is what I'm trying to emphasize here, it's the posture of the heart. It's my attitude towards God. It's my attitude, my posture in how I see God. Even if I was to talk to you and okay, let's say we minister to one another, we encourage one another. The question is, what is my posture before God that you and I would minister to each other? That's very important. The posture of the heart. Worship. True worship begins in the heart. So one more time, can I get you to stand to your feet? Stand to our feet. Lord, as we take this moment, as we talk about the importance of our service as priests unto you, it's essential. You call us to be priests before you. But Lord, lead us into a place of true worship in our hearts, to bow before the will of the Father. Help us this morning so that we're not content doing service. But Lord, we ask that service will overflow out of our worship before you, Lord. Would you help us this morning? Help us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated for the last, just give me a last few more minutes here. Let me say something very important here before I move to the last point, is the expressions, though we may have it, though they may be good, but you know where someone's heart is. For example, that was a few weeks ago we talked about honor. Remember honor? Mother's Day. Pastor Joseph spoke specifically about the word honor. I don't know if you can recall that. And he did, and Pastor did actually talk about honor as actually an attitude, is a, you know. So, for example, let's talk about honor. So an expression of honor is what? You can many things, right? You show respect, maybe You greet someone, or you might thank someone, or you might recognize someone, or, you know, that's sort of acknowledging somebody. That's honor, right? That's the expression of honor. But honor doesn't come because I do this, because I can do this because mom and dad told me I have to greet when I come. So I greet. Or I walk past somebody, he saw me, so I have to greet because it's the right thing to do. If I don't greet, then it look bad on me. So I have to greet, kind of thing, right? Honor, though, will come from your heart because you value, you see, the attitude of our hearts is different. So I'm not doing it because it's the right thing to do. Now, I can rightly do the right thing, but the attitude is not there. This is still not honor. Does that make sense, what I'm saying to you? So we go back to the idea of worship. It's the same thing. I can have all the expressions, but it must come. Last point here. Worship leads to service. Worship will and must lead to service. If I'm forever worshiping God and never find a place of service before God, whether it's in a personal relationship with the Lord, whether it's in the body of Christ, or whether it's in the world, you know, something is missing. Because as you have seen today, the normal progression is worship and service. Worship and service. We worship, we serve who we worship, and we serve what we worship. So what do we worship? Or who do we worship? Do we worship ourselves? Do we worship an object? Do we worship somebody? Do we worship a ministry? What are we spending our time serving? Or am I serving to begin with? Is my service pure worship to God? When I serve, when I am asked to serve and I serve, am I doing it and I'm grumbling inside of me and I'm grumbling? Oh, me again? Well, didn't I do it last week? You want me to do it again? You know? Or why is it always me? Or I want to serve, but why are you asking me to serve? I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't want to do this, you know? These are serious things. I mean, be real. I'm just trying to be practical here. When I serve, what is the state of the heart? That is important. Not because I am actually serving, but the state of my heart when I'm serving. Am I grumbling from the inside? Let's read Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read a few verses and we end here, right? So Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, bond servants. So everybody say the thing again. Bond servants, slaves, servants of God. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God. So you bow to the will of God. From the heart, the goodwill doing service, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good or anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. I hope you're seeing the whole concept of what we're saying here, from service to the will of God and bowing in the posture of our hearts. Will of God from the heart. Psalms 119, and I close with this verse, verse 14. And why don't we rise to our feet and we will pray this. And perhaps if I can get musicians and the team down. In verse 14, he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, why don't you say with me together? Let's verbalize it. Let's rise to our feet and let's say this together. One, two, and three. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Let this be a prayer. I believe that what I'm sharing today, I think is very important. We're talking about growing into greater maturity. We're talking about service. The more we become mature, the more we become involved in many things. The more we understand how we're supposed to serve. The more we understand how we're supposed to function. But remember that even as we talk a lot about service, as we talk about our job, our responsibilities as a king and priest, everything comes out from the posture of the heart. For God loved David. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. So the whole thing is, and I'm not trying to redefine what worship means, but the message what I'm going to bring forward today is when we come, when we say worship the Lord, is my heart, is my attitude, is my approach in deep reverence, is it bowing to the will of God? And many times we don't understand everything about the will of God. In fact, the Bible says Abraham, God called Abraham and he went out because God called him. And as he went out, he didn't even know where he was going. But by faith, he left to a country that he didn't know where he was going. So we don't always get the whole picture. We don't always want to understand everything. But we say, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. So I believe that this, we want to go into greater maturity. We want to know how to function as a priest and a king, but it begins with a heart. And we are going to ask the Lord this morning, Holy Spirit, just move powerfully in us so that we would readjust ourselves, maybe where we have gone off or what we have perhaps neglected or what we have come so far from in the midst of a busy world. And I think I say this and I really mean it. As we don't say to this to mean anything weird or anything, but you know, as we were just standing in the morning, remember, and we were just standing before the Lord, just being quiet before the Lord. How many? And let's be honest, how many just realize how noisy it was? People coming in and the doors opening and this and plastic bag and all this. Was it true? I'm not criticizing those who were coming in. I'm just saying, was that a fact though? Or did you? Were you so in the spirit that wow, you were caught in the third heavens, and behold, a voice spoke to you, and you turned to turn and see the voice as a trumpet. I don't know. Maybe you were having the experience, but you didn't quite feel that. But I felt it, and that spoke to me, and it says, "Well, that's how busy we are. We need to take the time to stop before God." And so, yeah, maybe some of us here are very busy serving God in many ways, and we're running around. Maybe we're busy with work, or we're busy with so many responsibilities, busy with children, busy with family, and so many things to juggle around. Let's ask God, Lord, help us to come back to the very heart of worship. Cause me to bow before you this morning. So I want to sing a song. I'm not. There is no greater honor. No greater honor. Down at your feet, oh God.